Okay, in that case, I'd like to call this meeting of the IJ Board to order at 8:03 Eastern Time. Start off with roll. Tim first.
Present.
Joyce Howard.
Here.
Tim Laird.
Here.
Jerry Martin.
I'm here.
Jim Maxwell.
Here.
Bob Newman.
Here.
And I'm David Davis. We also have Sandy Brown and John Satriano, correct?
That's right.
Okay. In that case, anyone I missed? Good. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In that case, I'd like the agenda approved by unanimous consent. Any objection? I will say that it wasn't a substantial change, but the categories changed at one point because some items weren't in, got moved into different spots, but I don't think it matters. All right, agenda approved. Minutes from the last board meeting. I'd like to approve those by unanimous consent. Any comments first? In that case, I'd like to approve them by unanimous consent. Any objection? Okay, minutes approved. Reports. I think most of these are in here from kind of last time, but we also said we would deal with John first, so I'm going to change the order just a little unless someone objects. And with that, John, go ahead.
Okay. Let me say first that I'm having a very bad allergy day, so I'm going to have to clear my throat a lot.
Is not meaning some secret meaning then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm extremely excited about Winston-Salem. The location is absolutely ideal. I haven't seen a better place in my few years. A couple of the other jugglers that have seen it agreed. They really don't think that there's been a more ideal location in, say, 20 years of IJA festivals.
Wow.
Great.
The area itself is very, very much like Davenport. It's not overly urbanized. It's nicely landscaped, and it's undergoing rapid and extensive development. Even though it's nice now, they're adding a lot of new stuff. Under the modern urbanization theory, which is stores downstairs and condos upstairs. So although there's a lot of stuff there now, they're saying that there'll be a lot more stuff there by the time we get there.
Okay.
All the locations, everything we looked at, except for the joggling track, is within a two-block radius. There's no walking, no place to go. Wi-Fi, internet, broadband Wi-Fi is free and available everywhere in the downtown area.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff to do around there. They have, like, Old Salem is one of those reenactment places. They reenact the 18th century. There's an art district two blocks away. There's a science museum, something like the Franklin Arts Museum, the Franklin Science Museum here in Philadelphia, a very interactive science museum. There's a lot of vineyards and vineyard tours and a lot of world-class golf courses close by. So it's a really nice place. The facility itself is giving us 85,000 square feet, which is roughly more than twice what we've had the last few years.
Wow.
One small drawback to it is that it's split up into four different areas, so we won't have that kind of nice, cozy, one big room feeling. But I've thought of ways to utilize the different areas that'll keep us a little more concentrated. Half the place is carpeted. The entire upstairs is carpeted. And half of it is concrete, the entire downstairs. So we can easily satisfy all of our members that way. There's a perfect place to build a three-tiered riser stage, which will have, it'll give the people the choice of a concrete or riser floor at three different heights, and we can build a nice backdrop, lighting, and all that, and make a really nice stage right there in the gym. There's a PA system that is facility-wide that can be patched into any or all rooms at the same time. And there's an idea that's been going around the Davidson College Jugglers, which is the local club there, they have a festival in September, the Hurricane Hugo Festival. And they talked about potentially moving it into the Benton Convention Center on Sunday, just as kind of a preview day. The Benton Convention Center is okay with that.
When you, pardon me a moment. When you say Sunday, are you talking about at the beginning or at the end of the IJA Fest?
I'm talking about the end of the Hurricane Hugo Festival this year in September.
Oh, I see.
That's awesome.
They're talking about having the entire last day of the Hurricane Hugo Festival in the Benton Convention Center, which the Benton is saying they'll let us do for free.
Wow.
I'm going. Yeah. At the same time, we've come up. Sandy came up with an idea of putting together a video trailer for the festival, and that particular day, if we have a whole bunch of jugglers in the Benton Convention Center, will be a perfect opportunity to get some video for the trailer.
John, carry on. I've been getting somebody who's tried twice now to get onto my IJ cell phone. I'm going to try to call it back and see if I can see if there's a problem, but carry on.
Okay, sure. That's about it for the facility. The hotels are gorgeous. The Embassy Suites offers all suite rooms with a full kitchen in each. That's the perfect place to put four people in a room. They just underwent about a $50 million refurbishment, and so everything is clean, modern, beautiful. Even the overflow hotels are not as fancy as the main hotels, but they're clean and modern, and they offer full amenities. We found a site for midnight shows that is absolutely perfect. It has a stage. It has full tech, lighting, cash bar, all that kind of stuff. The problem is it's not in a bar. It's in a rental hall. So this is not the kind of relationship that the owner is used to having with his clients. But he's also kind of a quirky, edgy, very well-known local character that likes to put on cool shows. And he thinks this is going to be a cool show. So we have to convince him of that.
Right.
But if we do, he's telling us that he'll do full publicity for the shows. He'll bring in a few hundred people by himself. And the place is certainly huge enough to accommodate it. The theater. Oh, by the way, that midnight show is right around the corner from the hotel.
How many people does it hold, John?
He could configure it to hold anywhere from 300 people in a very intimate setting to about 1,200 people in a seated setting. The theater is gorgeous.
John, let me interrupt you for just a second. I keep seeing Jim typing away. Have you typed up something to use so that he doesn't have to write all this?
Oh, you want him to keep... Yeah, I do. I typed up kind of a summary of all of this.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take a break.
Sorry.
I guess I should have brought that up to begin with.
No, that's fine.
Okay. The theater was built as a 1920s silent movie theater. It looks a lot like Shays on the inside. It's all, you know, the gold and gilded and really beautiful. But it's also very high tech, very modern. The technology is all right up to date. The chairs are brand new and very comfortable. There's not a bad seat in the house. The only slight drawback is it only holds about 1,350 people. I have a feeling we're going to be selling that out, at least on the Cascade of Stars. It also has unbelievable amenities for the performers, a beautiful green room, a multitude of dressing rooms, star dressing rooms, a warm-up room with a 20-foot ceiling, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we could ask for more. In addition to that, the Winston-Salem people are literally willing to bend over backwards for us. The Convention Visitors Bureau has offered to do free printing for almost all of our stuff. We can have them print up all of our schedules and stuff for free on the back of their advertising literature. They've offered free employees for the for the full week of the festival, which depends a little bit on how many room nights we sell during the week. But we'll have people to run security, people to run the registers, the register desk, stuff like that. Warm bodies where we need them. They've offered to do tours during the week for families and stuff. We could do a vineyard tour. We could do a tour of the art. There's an art district two blocks away, stuff like that. There's a number of things to do, and they will, for free, organize tours for us. They'll also come to Portland, and they're going to set up a table in Portland and just hand out advertising literature for Winston-Salem all week long.
Wow, perfect.
And they're going to handle, this is the Convention Visitors Bureau, is going to handle publicity for us for free. They have relationships with all the newspapers, magazines, television, and they're going to aggressively market us to all of those. So we just have to supply them with some materials that they can use. Moving on, I found a jogging track that's about 1 mile from the convention center. It's in a municipal park. It's just been refurbished, and it's a standard track with bleachers and 4 running lanes that run around a tennis court. The benefit is that it's totally free, and it's really the only choice we have, other than there's a university that would rent us their track, but it's Olympic-sized, and it would cost several thousand dollars. There's also a YMCA track, an indoor track that I'm looking into for weather backup, but it's a very cramped area. It wouldn't leave any room for spectators, and it would cost us something. So, but I'll have that as a backup.
John, this is Jerry. Do we get to reserve the track?
Yes. It's already reserved.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Food, there's a restaurant, Row, right around the corner from the hotel. There's a lot of food there, but they all close at 9 o'clock at night, the regular restaurant hours. There's very, very little late-night food there. No grocery stores, no mini-marts. Now, of course, there may be by the time we get there because development is happening so quickly. But we've already cooked up a number of solutions. The hotel will work with us opening the concession stands whenever we want. They'll also say that they'll open their restaurant just for us, like after the shows.
Right.
And we can put together a special juggler's menu, that will appeal to our people.
Wow.
And we can also get some local sandwich trucks, or, we can just alert some local sandwich trucks or something to open up outside the theater after a show. The convention center has no problem with that. So that's all my good news. There's really very few drawbacks to the place. They want us badly, and there's a lot more positive stuff that they told us that's just not really worth reporting right now, but will come out eventually. Now down to the money. Does anybody have any questions so far? Okay.
It's been great so far.
Okay. As far as the pricing goes, I haven't put together a really firm budget yet, but I have a lot of good numbers to work with. At the moment, I'm not proposing this. I'm just considering it. And so you guys just think about this and give me your feedback eventually. What I'd like to do is raise the early bird price $10, make it $159. What I would also like to do is raise the later prices a little bit more than that. I want to give people more incentive to register for the early bird because I think that benefits us tremendously. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to just give them a $16 break. That's not much incentive for them to sign up early. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be giving the youth and senior packages a $40 discount across the board, which equates to a 25% discount on the early bird price and a 20% discount at the latest price at the festival. Using those numbers, I'm going to throw this number out very, very unofficially. I don't want anyone to stick to this, but I think with those numbers and an attendance rate that is the same as Buffalo, we're looking at approximately a $30,000 profit.
Wow.
Right.
Obviously, if we get better numbers than Buffalo, and I think we will, because I'm planning some spectacular stuff that I'll talk about sometime in the future. then obviously, you know, that'll be gravy on top of that. That's my report.
Okay, I thank you very much. But I might also want to give a report very similar to that at the general meeting in Portland, because there were a lot of things there that can get people pretty psyched out about it. Just as a thought, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Anybody have questions or comments? I don't want to run too long on this one. But
sure.
Anyone?
Just great job, John.
Yeah, you're going to spoil us.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that I would like to make an announcement at the meeting in Portland, and really make a whole bunch of announcements, bring a whole bunch of stuff out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we can do it within the framework pretty good, but we'll have to figure that out later.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Thank you,
John, and you're welcome to stick around if you wish.
Thanks, I will.
Yeah. Finances is the next one listed on here.
Really, I don't have too much of an update. I did get in touch with Jack McMichaels just the other day, our Cascade, I'm never sure how to pronounce that magazine's name. That check did go out just yesterday morning, so we're paid up on that. All past due bills at this point are paid, with one exception, and that's a $40 invoice from Katja. And I asked Jack not to pay that one at this point, because now that I've been put on as official and authorized signer, I want to try and use the QuickBooks check entry to do that payment, and Katja has agreed to wait on that so that we can test the QuickBooks automatic payment system, just as a little test run. So we're all caught up on our bills.
Sounds great.
Yep.
Good. MMCC? Joyce?
Okay, I have talked with Zach Warren, the guy who set the juggling world record, the marathon,
mm-hmm.
Boston Marathon. He's also the one who's going over and working with this program, and he's the one that Stephen Rogatz interviewed in the magazine article that you read. I talked with him a few days ago, and we have the information on the website now. It is in the store, the donations. It's ready to go. I have emailed Paula and have not heard anything back from her. Jim, do you know if she has a new email address? Or
Which email do you know?
It was a Hotmail address.
Yeah.
It did not bounce back.
I think, let me look just a second. Go ahead, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, great. I was just waiting from her. I don't think there's any problem with us donating money to them and people donating to us, but I just wanted to find out before we did a lot of publicity on it, put it in their news items and on the forum and so forth.
I have her email address. It's Paula at Paula Eefle, all one word, PaulaEeffle.com.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I will send it to her. She may not have checked her Hotmail account. It might be just as it takes occasionally, because I haven't heard anything back, and she's usually pretty fast to respond. So I will also just let her know and let her look at everything we have and see if there's any red flags.
Fantastic.
Everything
Thank you
is
very much.
Ready. Great program, by the way.
Okay. Any other questions on any report so far? Any other reports anyone wants to give?
Well, the awards committee is going along well. Finally got back hold of Scott Felter. And we've got a few nominees. We'd like some more, of course. Going to put out another thing on the forum about that. But as was pointed out to me, of course, we don't have to give every award every year. So we may not have a lot of awards, but we're certainly soliciting them.
Good. Sounds great. And that's all, no problems are showing up there?
There are no problems at all.
That is
I was very assured that the problematic is the the excellence in education or the EEA.
Mm-hmm.
There were some funding problems in the past. There may have been. I've been assured there are going to be none this year. That, they're going to take care of that. That was the biggest issue. So everything else is really very smooth, and so is that.
Good. Thank you.
And Bob, if I could interject there, because I've been working with Dave Finnegan and the Excellence in Education Award people. It looks like we found a new artist to do
great.
The award, and it looks like her fee is going to be much less than what the former artist fee was. I don't have final numbers yet, but I should probably by tomorrow.
Well, I did suggest to Dave talk to you because, like I said, you had mentioned that there were better ways to go, and I think he took that to heart. So, yeah, the awards committee is doing great. There's no problems, sir, for once.
All right. Any other reports today? All right. On to the fun stuff. Juggle Magazine. Kim Laird moves. We'll go ahead and get.
Well, I move that the board accept the offer made by Stan Allen for two additional issues of Juggle, the September-October and November-December issues, beyond the contract at a cost of $13,666 per additional issue. Did everyone receive the email that I had sent concerning the breakdown of the different publishers that I've met with?
Yes.
Yes.
The conspicuous absence of prices was disappointing, but otherwise it was a good report.
They are still getting us prices.
Do you have any ballpark figures?
Not at this time. I did not have that go because part of the reason that there's a hold off on the price at this point is because we're also waiting to hear from Alan Howard. As I put in the report, especially the two Kansas City publishers, they are very interested in having Alan continue in role of editor of the magazine and feel he is vital to any changes in the magazine and to keep the magazine flowing, without much disruption at all, or I shouldn't say disruption, but without the members noticing a whole lot except for positive changes that may come about. I just spoke with Alan again tonight. He had a few questions yet that he needed answered before he could give us an answer, and said that he would get back to me as soon as he got the answers to those questions, so I'm working on them at this time. And they're questions that involve his role with these new publishers if he were to do that. He's definitely sounding very interested. However, he is looking at getting back into performing, so that's what's holding him back from a decision right now. However, each and every publisher and Sandy, I need to thank you for helping me out and meeting with some of these people that I could not. All four publishers have all said the same thing. We need more time than just until July. It may take into June before we even have a written contract. And that's why I made this motion after we had heard from the four publishers. As far as actual dollar figures, we should be getting them, but it's not going to be probably for another week or so possibly.
This is Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
Were they given any ballpark from you as to what we could afford?
Well, they are already, the two in Kansas City are already familiar somewhat with Juggle Magazine because they use the same printer that StageRite does. And Sandy, I forget our printer's name. I am so sorry.
Tim Steinbeck.
Tim Steinbeck.
Tim and I met with both printers, both publishers, and just last week. So they are very familiar with everything about Juggle.
And the price that we pay?
$533.
They know the per magazine price, and that's why I did put that in there that Sandy seemed to think that the last person that she met with was had indicated that he could come in at a lower price than what they were quoting.
When you say per magazine price, I don't understand. Are you talking about our fee that we pay to StageRight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's without the $3,000 increase.
Right.
I basically posed to both this is Sandy, may I speak?
Sure.
I basically posed to both publishers, can they give me a price in the ballpark of $5 per per magazine, per issue, plus or minus? And we pay $5.33 without the increase, which brings it to, I don't know, what is that, Kim, $6-something, $6.36?
Yes, I don't have my calculator in front of me.
Right.
My brain's fried.
So they couldn't say yes or no, but they know what we're looking for. So.
And the same with, I'm sorry to interrupt, Sandy, the same with the other two publishers, the McNeil Group and Rodale. Rodale has come back to me and said that they don't feel that they could touch doing our magazine for less than $6 per issue per member, which is way above what we can afford, and I realize that, but that information just got to me at 4:45 this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me at the end of the day. The McNeil Group, little smaller group, but still somewhat of a big group, they are still working on a price. They do know, you know, here's what our membership fee is, and they've seen copies of our magazine as well and pretty much know the price that we've been working under, and I told them we need to come in under that.
And that includes postage.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Which Tim Steinbeck is very familiar with. He was the guy who made the mailer in 2004. He was bidding for Juggle Magazine contract at the time. He's a good friend of Stan's. He finally got Juggle Magazine. He's been printing Juggle for about 2 years now, about 18 months. And he's very excited to stay on with the magazine. He would like to keep printing it. And he's in Kansas City fairly often. I've had coffee with him several times, met with both publishers. And they just really feel that this transition can occur very smoothly, and in addition, add maybe a fresh new face to Juggle, something that will, spur the younger group, maybe 15 to 25-year-olds. DVD inserts are not a problem. That would simply be handled through tipping, a process by which the DVDs are just handled with a certain type of glue into one of the pages. So this would be something where we would ensure that the members keep their six issues, and one or two of the issues would have DVDs inserted into them. And this would be a very fluid type of transition that I think the members would only view as a positive type of transition.
These two companies in Kansas City are also waiting to hear Alan's decision because that will have an impact on pricing as well. They've both offered that Alan would be paid through the publisher, so we would not have to pay several different people. He would actually become an employee of theirs. We did check with Stan Allen before. I checked with him before we talked to Alan Howard, before we talked to our printer. So everything was cleared so that we don't step on toes. So Alan is sort of a pivotal thing, even with their pricing at this point. What I like about the two Kansas City publishers is the fact that they already use our printer. Our printer is the one that's been doing all of the mailing for us. They had fresh new ideas. They're not too big for us. They're not too small for us. And they're able to do some of the things like the DVD inserts that we've talked about, but that Stan seemed to indicate would be a problem with postage in that. These two companies said not a problem.
Yeah,
we can do it.
Not a problem at all.
It's just we need the time to hammer out contract, and to make sure that that first issue with the new publisher is exactly what we want it to be and the way we want it to be, and that any changes are made carefully.
Kim, may I interject?
Sure.
Both printers, both publishers are knowing what's occurring tonight with a vote of the extension, and I will contact them tomorrow and let them know. And they both will continue on after they have the information. In case you did not get a chance to read Kim's information about all the publishers that we've researched, the contracts are, as Kim mentioned, probably a month out. On top of that, it's 3 or 4 months at the very minimum, and they feel as though they could probably put out an issue after the first of the year.
Okay, this is Jim Maxwell. If we decided not to go with the stage right extension and tried self-publishing the two issues following the festival, would these publishers still be able to work with us in a smooth transition?
Well, I believe that if you go to self-publishing for even two issues, if the quality, depending on the quality of the product that's put out there, you may have already ruined a smooth transition. It would make for a possible, and I'm not saying it's definite, but again, our members are used to a certain quality of magazine, and if you put anything out that's less than that, and I was just at Reading Juggling Club last night and asked for their input on this, like they said, if it's just a, you know, non-glossy, basically newsletter type of thing, they're not going to be too happy.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
okay.
I was thinking more in terms of the publisher's point of view. Would they still be willing to come on board if there was a gap between stage right and a contract with one of the other publishers?
I don't believe that would be a problem necessarily for the publishers themselves.
This is Bob. The problem may be, you know, getting people in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that it's only going to be for a short period of time, and then we're going to look at other alternatives. I mean, I'm not sure if people want to commit that much time and effort into something that's only going to maybe last for two or three issues. I'm not sure about that because I really don't know, but that may be a problem.
The other side is if they know it's a short-term commitment, they might be more willing to commit.
Well, you're right. You're right.
And perhaps a DVD or nobody's saying non-glossy. There's no reason we can't. With $28,000, we can print plenty nice. I don't think anybody's suggested a newsletter without non-glossy pictures, DVDs.
My question is there going to be somebody who could head up this? And like I say, because I talked to Todd, who had a pretty well thought out, you know, alternative, I thought, you know, with the older issues and the DVD. But when I asked him about covering the fest, he said, you know, that's a problem. And that, you know, like I say, that's, you know, because that's what sells us, I think, to a certain degree. We have to have a good, some sort of good publication or something out there after our festival, because that really kind of turns people on to it if they don't know about it.
Do you remember last year's issue about the festival?
Well, like I say, you know.
Do you remember what was in it?
Probably not.
It was a picture, pretty much. There was some article, but a lot of it was pictures.
Yeah.
Color pictures, lots of color pictures. Do you know where those came from?
Well, I'm certain you, but
David Harper and me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a question. Like I say, because, you know, Todd was the guy who came up with pretty much an alternative that was pretty concrete to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, mean, I haven't seen names put to jobs or who's going to do what, when, where, writers or anything. And, I mean, just it's a concern. I mean, it's a legitimate concern.
It is a concern. I understand that.
And this is Kim. One of my biggest concerns, and I'm sorry for being so kind of blunt here, but we haven't had a very good track record the past several months of doing things on time. And that's a big, big concern of mine because I personally am somebody that I need target dates and I need to hit those target dates. And it must be the teacher in me, but we haven't been doing a very good job of that the past 6 months to a year. And I don't want to see that happen with the magazine as well.
So I guess the question is it worth $28,000?
This is Sandy. Where do you come up with $28,000?
That's the cost of two additional issues.
Which would be...
minus what our cost is.
Right. And that's the key, is that it's minus the cost, the additional cost.
Yes.
Right. So it's not really a net additional cost.
No.
Right.
That's true.
So I think that's really misleading when you say $28,000 in addition. It's not $28,000.
No, but it's $6,000 more than
right.
paying now for tuition.
Right. Yeah. Is $6,000 more, well, I'm not
total.
Supposed to speak here, but, you know,
no,
it's not 28, it's 6.
Here's the other thing, though, too, and this is something we have to consider.
Somewhere between 6 and 20,000, that's neither of us placates.
Well, we also have to consider the fact that if we accept the extension from Juggle, from Stan, we already have everything in place. It is ready to go. The writers are there. Everything's ready. If we decide to go and publish our own post-fest issues, that's up in the air right now. You're not exactly sure of who you're going to have to write and all, and that, you know. Do we pay the money to go with a sure thing, or do we hold off to save some money and
maybe not have the people? If I may interrupt here, can we hear from the people we haven't heard from, Tim, Jerry Martin, and get a feel from where we're going from? If we already know where we're going, I don't want to thrash this out. So can we get a feeling of what is it that the undecided, first of all, is there anyone who is still undecided on this issue?
Well,
no one?
I guess we take a vote.
Yeah.
In that case, there's not a whole lot of reason to debate this
anymore.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who wants to make a statement before we take a vote?
This is Joyce. One other question. Is there any possibility of extending it one issue instead of two?
No. Stan has already made that clear to me.
Okay. I would like to speak.
Good question.
I've been trying to be quiet, and I'm going to keep quiet, but I would like to put my spiel here. Quite frankly, I am not very pleased with any of the plans in which are on Kim's report. I do not believe that any of those plans are in the best interest of the IJA. I think that the time has come for us to move away from stage rights model. I don't think it was working for us. I think this is a golden opportunity to move in a new direction. I'm concerned that there is no appreciable DVD option, which was to me an exciting option. Including them would come, as I understand it, as an additional price, which means it's not necessarily within our affordable frame. I think I've made all my plans clear, and I will shut up.
This is Tim. I realized that I had my phone muted when I tried to get in a word in between.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, my fault for not unmuting in a timely fashion.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I've been finding this discussion very helpful. I did not come into this with my mind, completely made up, leaning one way, yes, but not firmly made up. And I, I'm I'm finding out new things all the time, and if anyone who has not yet spoken has anything to add to the discussion, I would love to hear it. I don't have any new information to add, which is why I haven't been speaking to this, but if anyone else does, I would love to hear it.
Last chance to speak, folks.
Oh, this is Joyce. Sorry, I thought of one more question for Kim.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were going to talk with Bill Gittes. What did you find out from him?
I have not been able to make contact with him as of yet. His schedule and my schedule have just been conflicting. So I don't have anything from him at this point.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Anyone else? In that case, we're ready to take it to a vote. I'm pretty sure it won't go by unanimous consent, so I'll go straight to roll call. Tim first.
Could you repeat the motion?
Motion. Tim Lehrer moves that the IJA Board of Directors accepts the offer made by Stan Allen for two additional issues of Juggle beyond the contract at a cost of $13,666 per additional issue. Voting yes is a vote for the extension. Voting no is a vote not to have stage right extended at the additional fee. Okay, Tim first.
I vote yes.
Joyce Howard?
No.
Jim Laird?
Yes.
Jerry Martin?
Yes.
Jim Maxwell?
Yes.
Bob Newman?
Yes.
Put me down as a no. Motion carries. Membership. Jim Maxwell proposes the board authorize spending up to $500 for the purchase of two FileMaker Pro 8 licenses for manufacture of the membership database and grant Mike and Marilyn permission to finish executing the proposed transition plan. Jim?
Yes. I've hashed out as much as I feel authorized to, given my lack of technical expertise on the various options. I did find out that there's a possibility that I might be able to get a copy of FileMaker Pro from my office, and that would save the IJA $300, and it would just be a matter of upgrading one license, the license that the Sullivans currently have, which would then go to Scott Seltzer. So I am amenable to a friendly amendment, or for that matter, you know, I'm willing to table this because I don't think that everything has been explored fully. But at some point, I would like to move forward with the transition plan in order to be able to do the job that I've agreed to do in Portland, to the extent that I feel comfortable doing it.
I'm not sure how to respond to that. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Bob Newman. I talked to Mike Sullivan. Unfortunately, he's in a training seminar in L.A., and he could not join us. I don't think it's late enough for him to get on. So he feels very strongly about the way it is now, and I know, you know, that against some other views, but I would really like him to be able to call in. You know, if Jim feels comfortable tabling this, I would really like to have his input because he and both Marilyn have a lot of experience in over 30 years each in the computer business, and I would just like the give and take. You know, I hoped it would happen on our forums. It didn't. But, I mean, he is adamant when I talk to him about certain issues, and he said I would like to bring them up, but he just can't call in.
This is Jim Maxwell, and that's precisely why I invited him to the meeting last time. And he made his case, and I heard, you know, only give, no take from, you know, the other board members.
Yeah.
And as I've stated, I really am not qualified to debate this issue.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to help if I can, but I just lack the technical expertise. There's a chance that I could, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
The alternatives, and I might be able to be brought up to speed for purposes of working at the Portland Festival, but I just can't guarantee that at this time.
I told Mike I would quote him because there are several concerns of his, and this may give us, you know.
Well, if the purpose of you is to convince consensus to table it, I don't think that needs to be done. If that's
okay.
what we wanted
well,
to do,
I was just trying to give some people some information to what Mike is going to say, because then if he comes up and says this and we table it again, it may be a problem. So he is very concerned about the design and publishing of the program, I guess, or whatever you call it. He would think it takes a lot of hours. He also says that File Pro is, yes, it's shrink-packed out of the store or whatever, and very simple, and that's what we need. Now, I'm not promoting this. This is just what he told me, and I said, well, I'll quote you because this is, because you're not there. And he is very concerned about the membership card because it is generated out of File Pro. I asked him that specifically because, Dave, you asked that.
Correct.
He said, yeah, that's generated out of the File Pro. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, you may turn around and say, well, I can do that in a couple hours. I don't know. But those were, the concerns he expressed in a very brief, phone call he had with me because he was still working, He was saying that, it's going to take a lot of hours to design and publish is what he said.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean,
is everyone comfortable tabling it then for now, or does somebody want an action right now? I'm also perfectly comfortable authorizing that amount without a board meeting decision if there's action facing that way off the board meeting.
This is Tim. Here's my take on the current situation. If we have volunteers in place to do the transition right now, and the expense is minimal, that is either one upgrade or a program plus upgrade, and we can do the transition very soon so that the new people are in place and have experience with the new system or experience with the current system by the Portland Festival, then it's worth doing. Having read the post to the forum about the potential benefits of using a web-based program, indeed, that might be, quite possibly is the way to go in the future, but I don't see that happening immediately, especially with the current volunteers and their unfamiliarity with the web-based system, and likewise the unfamiliarity of apparently Mike and Marilyn with the web-based system, and I would rather see the transition happen now with FileMaker Pro so that it can happen significantly before the Portland Festival, and then after the Portland Festival, if it seems like a transition to the web-based database and integrating all the databases is what we should be doing, then great. That will give Jim, Scott, whoever, more time to help with the transition to that system without having to learn a new system and figure out the whole job at the same time with the festival looming in the immediate future. So my preference at this point would be I would not want to table it for another month. I would be comfortable with this decision being made outside of a board meeting, but my preference right now would be to authorize the up to $500 expenditure with the hope that not that much would be spent, and to give the go-ahead for the transition using the existing FileMaker Pro system, with the hopes that the new membership coordinators, then once they become familiar with the job and the existing membership database, can then make a more informed decision about whether that should ultimately transition into the web-based database. That's it.
Okay. Jerry, Kim?
I'm of the same mind.
I also agree with what Tim has said.
Okay. As I suspect most people are expecting, I have a dissenting opinion. Not that I actually agree with most of everything that Tim said. I simply think that it is missing a key component, namely that there is more to membership than maintaining the membership cards. I think that the web component is currently a major portion of the membership that's not happening, and it's soon to be a more important part and it's holding us back. I think it's important to make the transition at this time. Having said that, I think that we're being naive to not look at that portion of it, and I think that we're going to run into problems very shortly, including manpower issues. But I've already said all that, and I think you know it. I just wanted to say it again in case somebody didn't read it. Other people, are we ready for a vote? Any last comments?
This is Joyce. There is more than just buying the two FileMaker Pro or one or two licenses. I don't have as much problem with that, and Jim actually learning what Mike's doing and just moving it to his computer, I don't have as much problem with that as I do this migration to this web server. And there's a cost of setting it up, there's a monthly cost, and there's a lot of work that has to be done to getting all of that working so that two people can work on the database. That I could go with moving Jim getting the FileMaker Pro and Mike teaching him how to use that and having that ready for the festival and continuing to work on, if he was willing to start working with us on doing the database with the website. That's what we've been unable to do for the last 2 years, is get anyone willing to work with us on it. And we can't do it without the membership directors just working together.
Well, this is Kim, and I'm sorry, Joyce. Did I interrupt you?
No, that's pretty
okay. I understand what you're saying, and that's maybe the only drawback that I see is that $70 a month for a different server.
It's not the money as much as it is the time and the. It's not just $70 a month. It's
right.
It's a setup fee plus the $70 a month, but that's really pretty minor compared to the work of setting up a whole new system. How much work is that person going to want to do 2 months later to move it to the MySQL?
Well, and that's where I've talked to three other programmers today who all told me that you can take the FileMaker Pro information and, as they said, dump it into MySQL. There is a process for doing that.
David's already done that. It's already online.
Okay, so if we can do that, what's the advantage of having...
I don't know if I can explain this. I will try, though. And I'm sorry, Joyce, if you want to, maybe you can explain it better than I can. When you're working with database systems, there's a fundamental fact that you have to deal with, which is which record is your primary record. The way in which we've dealt with things the last couple months is that the primary record resides on Mike and Marilyn's server. Okay? This has certain drawbacks. What it is it puts the web team in what we call the slave mode. That's not derogatory or anything. It just means that's the master copy, we're the slave mode. We follow whatever it says. And what it does is it creates a situation where you're fine when you originally make that dump. That original dump is no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to happen. Now what happens if somebody changes their password? Okay? Now we've got a situation where the slave database has one set of data and the master set of database has a different set of database. Which one is right? Same with any other piece of information in the database. If we change the way their name's spelled, if we change anything else, what record is your master record?
Their mailing address for the magazine.
Mailing address for the record.
Online. Then what happens?
Lots of things like that. The one that's most obvious to us on a regular basis is if we want to find out a member's phone number. The way we do it normally is we check the roster because we don't have access to the data in a good way. These are all drawbacks that are holding us back from getting an integrated system. Is it possible to do some of this? Yes. On the database side, on the web side, these are functions in which can start to be rolled in. Right now, I don't dare give people a way to update their entries. A change of address, there's no easy way to do a change of address on our website. The reason being is that we don't connect to that database. It's a one-way connection. Okay? The data is separate. What it means is that when I try to update the database, it takes me hours and hours to do it, and it's possibly error-prone. Okay? Now, I've tried to automate it some much, but so far in the, 8 months, 9 months I've been doing this, I've yet to come up with a good automation system which allows me to copy data in a reliable, quick way from one to the other. So what it means is the web team, or at least me, spends a heck of a lot of time on a regular basis. We also have problems with timely updates. Right now, the copy of the database we're using is a month old. So anyone who's a member in the last month, they can't log on to the system. These are all systems that are inherent problems to our current system, and which I would like to see fixed. They won't be fixed by this solution. In fact, it may even get worse. By having it on FilePro, you're creating FileMaker Pro. I think you create a system that makes it difficult for someone else to step in if something happens to Jim. Now, if we have Scott, that's one duplicate. And Mike and Marilyn have been very reliable, so we haven't needed that. But as we know, as you pointed out, there are times when volunteers stumble a little, and it's nice to have other people be able to fill in the gaps. From a design point of view, I think this is clear. I can say that I myself am a bit of a database expert. I don't know if that has any weight or not, but this is not the way I think it should be done. Does that answer your question?
Well, I just have – oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I just have one – like I say, I go back to Mike Sullivan's questions, and I don't – you know, I wish I could put them more clearly, but he was saying it's going to take quite a bit of time to design and publish whatever it is on my
– He's right, but I would answer this. That time I've already spent. Thank you.
I don't know, but is it up to date? I mean, you know, I know you've spent a lot of time on it, but is it up to date to transition right tomorrow? I mean, can we do that? Because he was under the assumption, and I don't know. Like I say,
yes.
I'm just, you know,
if,
like I say.
If
you know,
you were to sit there and tell me, if somebody was to tell me that I had to go live with a membership system tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I would say no problem. No problem. Mm-hmm. No worries about it. If you haven't already looked at it, if you go to that, I sent a profile address. It was www.juggle.org/business/profile. What that is doing is it's pulling up a live database entry that pulls up people's individual records. Okay? The system is live now. Okay?
All
it's got problems.
Members are on there now.
Well,
that's
actually
not
more than
your record there and the other board members. That's everybody's record is there.
Yeah, I did nothing special to set it up for board members. It works just as well for anybody who can log on. It is live.
Like I say, I'm just, you know, like I say, obviously I know nothing about this, so like I say, that's why I called Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
and it's a good question, but the answer is we're ready to go live now.
Because he was thinking it would take, you know, I mean, he literally quoted me hundreds of hours to do this.
Well, I've spent dozens. I haven't spent hundreds, but I've spent dozens. And I think that he doesn't I mean, I don't want to disrespect
him. I'm sure he may not, because one of the problems of not, you know, again, you know, I'm not bringing this up to be ugly, but
mm-hmm.
not posting on Board Plus is he has no input. So, you know, when I call him at a short notice, it's hard for him to judge, because,
right.
really wish he had had more input
right.
in what you've done, what you've done. And I,
well,
you know,
so do I. And, in
yeah.
fact, I mean, I...
And I know, no, it's not your fault. I like
yeah,
to say, you did
okay.
post, you know, you enjoyed posting very, you know, and I appreciate that. But
Bob,
he is still very adamant.
I've talked on the
oh.
phone with him, and he will not listen. I'm sorry. He will not listen to me. I have over 30 years of experience in the computer industry, too. I worked on the database for Delta Airlines in the 70s. So...
Oh, no, no, I'm not agree. I just say, for most of the board members, this is very almost esoteric stuff. I mean, it's just we don't know. So it's very hard to make a judgment. You know, it's just, it's very difficult because one person, and like say, you all have expertise, believe.
Yeah, this is Jim Maxwell. I'm going to jump back in here and get back to the real crux of the issue here, which is what happens in Portland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, you know, regardless of what gets decided, something's going to have to be done in Portland. I mean, I still don't know exactly what all the duties are, but I know that Mike and Marilyn were behind the desk almost the entire time.
Right.
I'm willing to help pick up the slack there, but only to the extent that I understand the technology. So,
John Pastriano, could I have some input?
You bet.
Did I just say something? I was a programmer in a former life for 20 years. I agree with the MySQL. I think it's absolutely the right way to go. I think the whole issue is just timing. Can the new volunteers be brought up to speed fast enough for Portland? If not, I'm more than willing to work with them, you know, through the year leading up to Winston-Salem.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
This is Kim. Jim, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are you comfortable now with FileMaker Pro?
Yes.
Okay. Now, my question to the rest of the board, and this is just an open question, no need for even answers, but I think what we need to think about is, just as Jim said, and as John just said, if we need these volunteers for the festival. The festival is 8 weeks away. From what I understand of MySQL, is it may take a little bit longer for them to get comfortable enough with that to handle membership at a festival. Jim, you said you might be able to get a copy of FileMaker Pro for a few less bucks?
Yes. I found out that my department has a license, and just yesterday I upgraded my work computer from FileMaker 6 to FileMaker 8. And so I should be able to, provided that I still haven't done the head count, but I don't think that all of our licenses or all of our site licenses is going to be used up here within the department. Plus, you know, I'm going to have to go to my chair and ask if I can install this on my personal computer.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel fairly comfortable. My chair is a kinesiology person. He's totally supported our local Juggle Fest, and you know, he knows that I have a pretty strong passion for it. And as long as it's not going to prevent somebody else in the department who needs it from having it, I don't think he's going to have a problem with it.
Okay.
Okay. Kim, let me comment on what you asked and correct what may be a misconception here. You seem to imply that it's that it is difficult to understand MySQL, and I will actually say that that is true. MySQL can be a complicated language, as anything. It's just SQL queries. If you're used to that, SQL queries are SQL queries. But if you aren't, it's picky. However, the fact of the matter is that whoever runs the membership database doesn't have to be familiar with SQL. It's not a component that's necessary. What they have to be able to do is fill out a web form. In other words, if you've ever gone to a web form and typed in where it said name and typed in your name, and where it says address, you typed in your address, then you have the necessary skills to work a MySQL system. It does not require complicated knowledge. Essentially, the job, you know, maybe that's a detriment if you're wanting to have a challenge, because there's not much of a challenge to it. But essentially, the job consists of this person wants to be signed up, you type in their name in the form and hit submit. That is what the job will consist of, whether it's at Portland or anywhere else. If Portland does not have internet connectivity, that becomes an issue.
Otherwise, it's not an issue. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Same with printing the, you know, whatever else is done.
Charge.
Mm-hmm. It should not require a high level of technicality. In fact, we probably can have members do a fair amount of their own work. So I believe. Having said that, it is possible to, I think that Tim, I think in order to get to a final position, I strongly don't, I think people know that I don't think we should go this route. However, I also think that Tim first made an excellent point. If we are going to go this route, then it doesn't hurt to pass an amendment saying $500 today. Okay? There is something to be said for that. Nonetheless, I still oppose it because I think that once we've gone that route, we will simply after spending, it's now looking like $850 to try a transition, I think it's highly unlikely that we will move away from it quickly. That's just too big of a commitment to make for a month or even for the festival.
Okay, so
does that make sense?
Is Scott planning to start working on it now?
Yes, Scott and I both have downloaded a 30-day free trial of FileMaker, and Mike has set up the database, a dummy copy of the database that we can tinker around with. And
set
like I said, he's... I'm sorry?
He set it up for your own personal computers.
He set it up on Digital Forest.
Okay.
So he's already signed up for Digital Forest.
Yes. As I posted today, he and I were both of the opinion after last board meeting that we were given the go-ahead.
Okay.
And that I don't believe that was a belligerent move on his part.
I don't either, okay. Let's not go there unless somebody wants to.
No.
Having said that, would you have any objection? How long do I have to convince you that we can have a web system before you feel you'd have to go the FileMaker Pro and buy the thing? How much of your 30 days is left?
My 30 days is up June 3rd, I believe.
Okay. Here's the compromise in which I'm willing to make. You give me until June 3rd to show you what a web-based system can do.
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. Okay. And if by that time I haven't convinced you that web-based system is the way to go, fall back and buy your $500 copy. Does that sound like an agreeable plan? Or do whatever you think is wisest?
That sounds agreeable to me. Like I said,
And with that understanding, we then vote on this motion tonight.
Okay.
Which we can pass the motion. We don't have to spend
sure.
the money if we pass the
exactly.
motion.
Exactly.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Well, this is Sandy. I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I would like money not to be an issue here with the purchasing of a FileMaker. I would like to donate any type of FileMaker extension that we need. So this is not a money issue in terms of FileMaker, please. Well, I think that we should go whichever way the volunteer is comfortable.
Sandy, that's a very generous offer, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, Jim can decide if he would like that offer.
Okay. I'll let you guys discuss that. Okay, but is there anyone who has a problem with that understanding and the motion going forward under those terms?
I just want to make sure that Jim is comfortable with that.
I am comfortable with that.
All right.
Great.
Okay. In that case, I would like that motion to be passed by unanimous consent. Any objections? Okay, the motion carries. And Joyce moves that we accept the festival video contracts for Alan Plotkin and Jack Calvin. These
have
been...
I have a copy of those. They have been emailed, but they are online. If you'd like to see them, I put them online, I think, yesterday. They're not real obvious, but I can tell you how to find them if you want to see them.
Is anyone not familiar with these contracts? Does anyone not feel comfortable with them?
These
Is there anyone
that Andrew drew up pretty much from Alan's contract from last year. I think the only difference is the music. Everything will be non-copyrighted music except for the competitions.
Okay. There was some discussion already on this. I think we were fairly comfortable with it. Is there anyone not comfortable and ready to vote? Is there anyone who doesn't think they're going to be able to agree with this amendment, this motion? In that case, let's move onward. I'd like this motion to pass by unanimous consent. Any objections? Motion carries. Okay. Any other new business? Good. I have juggling tonight.
Yay.
Great. Next meeting. I would like to not schedule the next meeting if no one has any objection to that. My reason for that is I'm going to be pretty busy from mid-June on. Now, it's possible to get a meeting in there before that, but I'm expecting to be busy most of June, and so it's going to be a little difficult.
We have to have a June meeting, though.
Traditionally, we don't usually, but we certainly can.
I think we need it.
Yeah, I think there are too many things
that,
on our plate, even if it were the first week in June or something. But
yeah.
All right. How about the first week of June, then?
Sounds good.
First week of June would be June 7th. Is that good for everyone?
I don't know how with it I'll be because I'm going through foot surgery that day. But I will listen in.
Do you think you'll be okay for the meeting?
I'm not sure, but I'll try. If it's good for everybody else, don't worry about it.
We can. Is it a general or a specific anesthesia? Do you know?
They're
going under.
They're reconstructing my foot.
Ouch.
You're going under totally then?
Yeah.
I'm betting we don't meet that day.
Yeah,
probably. I bet it will not work.
Can we meet on Tuesday, the day before that?
Fine by me.
Works for Jerry.
Okay for Tim.
Anyone it doesn't work for?
June 6th, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Tuesday, June 6th, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Eastern Standard or Daylight.
Sounds good.
Okay. In that case, would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Jim Maxwell moves.
Jim Maxwell moves to adjourn. Anyone object? Hearing no objection, meeting adjourned at 9:16 Eastern time. And thank you all very much. Sandy, you may want to get a hold of Jim and talk about that license. Jim, I'm going to want to talk to you probably in the next few days.
Sounds good.
But we'll deal with that as it goes. Thank you all very much. Have a good night.
Bye, everyone.